listeners, welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. I'm Ivan Emke, your host. In this province, farms are sometimes hidden. They're up a logging road or behind a stand of trees or over a ridge or in someone's large backyard. Wherever they lurk, they're all part of the project of feeding ourselves and others. Today we find one of those hidden farms in Norris Point and we chat with the farmers.
And then when we decided to go farming, I mean, the greenhouse went up on the deck where we took down the gazebo and the patio chairs. I think at one point I said, are we ever going to get a patio table back? And he goes, we'll never have time to sit on it. If I had a dollar for every time a tourist asked me, where can I buy something green? And I'd be like, well, you kind of passed it about 45 minutes ago.
As you head down the hill into Norris Point, just by the first bend, you'll see a parking lot and an old house, and a glorious view of the tablelands across the bay. It is one of Gros Morne's true money shots. If you look through your photos from the park, and you don't have multiple pictures from the Jenny X House parking lot, you need to go back. Head down the hill after taking your photos, and just around another bend you'll see the old cottage hospital on the right. Built by the community in 1939-40, its legacy deserves a radio show all on its own another time. You'll notice some raised beds on the lawn and an old greenhouse in the back that has found some new life. This is the work of local residents Laurie Haycock and Boyd Maynard. It took a while to convince them to be interviewed, but Joyce, my wife, who oftentimes participates in these interview jaunts, Joyce and I spent a late July Sunday afternoon with Laurie and Boyd. We met in what used to be their backyard and patio before the farming bug kicked in. It's now fully devoted to food production. Join us. Laurie's just showing us around their range of microgreens that they have available.
So these ones are sunflower.
Sunflower, yeah.
Sorrel, amaranth.
Oh yeah, okay.
Chard, okay. Yeah. Pea shoots here. Yeah. These are all our new lettuce starts that we're going to be putting in.
Yeah.
And we've just planted over here today, actually. We pulled this bed. This was spinach.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I've heard tell that it does better when you fall plant it and then you overwinter it and you'll get a better crop in the spring.
Did you start with the greenhouse or you just started with some raised beds and then it just sort of took
raised
over?
Raised beds and went from there.
Yeah. The raised beds were first. We weren't really farming. We were gardening first with the raised beds and just, you know, growing our own food. And then when we decided to go farming, I mean, the greenhouse went up on the deck where we took down the gazebo and the patio chairs. And
there goes leisure.
Yeah,
so we're
going to
farm now.
That's right. Exactly. And I think, actually, that was funny because I think at one point I said, are we ever going to get a patio table back? And he goes, we'll never have time to sit on it.
So when was that?
2 years.
2 years ago.
Just 2 years ago.
Yeah.
2 years ago. Well, so what inspired you to start doing this? Anything in particular?
Yeah, I think so. I think Boyd has always, you know, had a passion for growing things. And, you know, I think he was always wanting to farm. He kept asking me to farm and I was like, no way, I don't think so. I actually didn't have the best of luck with house plants even. So it wasn't something that I was interested in. I just kept picturing, you know, me out in a field with cows and, you know, goats and and, you know, it wasn't something that I was really interested in.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then Boyd kept on, and then one day when I was at work, I actually buy food for students, and really took a look at what the students were wanting and what we were getting, and realized that it wasn't very good, and there was a lot of wastage, you know, with food going bad and things like that, and I thought, well, we have some stuff at home that's, you know, a lot nicer than what the students are eating.
Yeah.
So I think I just came home one day and I think I said, oh, we should go farming, you know, we should start a farm. And I think he could have just like, he was like, what are you kidding me? I've been telling you this. So we decided about 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
And then we decided, okay, when the spring comes around, we're going to try this. So we, you know, applied for leased agricultural land and you know, it's been slow going, but, you know, we're getting there, so.
So you had the idea, so you put in the application for the lease, but you've already got some land, you've got some markets already that you wanted to get that going before you got the land.
Yes.
You'd heard the stories.
Yes.
Right. Well, the thing is, we're always doing it, and then we got to the point where we couldn't eat it all.
Yeah.
So it was just, okay, we'll get rid of it now, and we'll apply for some land, and we'll just keep going.
So, Boyd, why did you want a farm? Why were you the one who was lobbying all along?
I don't know. I enjoy it. It's easy, soulful. It's
rewarding.
Very rewarding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You obviously don't eat all this stuff. In fact, you're asked not to eat it by each other.
Yeah.
So you can sell it. That's right. But who do you sell it to?
Locally, we sell to some of the local restaurants. Yep. We also sell to a local customer base. We launched a Facebook group page this year, which has taken off pretty well.
So what's that called, if somebody wants to look it up?
It's Grossmorne Farm and Market.
Grossmorne Farm and Market, okay.
Yep. Through the Facebook page, you can, you know, see what we have available. I post regularly on what's available. And, you know, you can just send me a message. And if I have enough or I have some ready, then, you know, we can set up a time to meet and make a drop-off or delivery or pickup.
Yeah. So the restaurants around here, which are open mostly summertime, most of them are open summertime, what kinds of things are they looking for that you can provide that they couldn't get?
Well, they could...
They could get it,
but
they could get it locally.
They couldn't get it locally. I think greens are the biggest
greens,
thing.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. You know, the lettuce and the arugula, the spinach, and, you know, crops like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Herbs, the fresh herbs are really in high demand as well.
If you were to start over again 2 years ago, is there something you'd do differently, or is it so important to make those early experiments?
Mistakes,
whatever we call them.
It is actually important. We did learn a lot the first year.
Oh, yes. We thought we knew everything the first year.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's like teenagers. That's right.
Yeah.
We learned, I think one of the biggest learning things was we started certain crops last year, and we ended up ripping them out because we knew we were not going to make any money. It was going to take too long to grow it.
Right.
And we were like, well, we only have a small space, so how can we get the most out of that small space?
Yeah.
And so then we just tried to research more on what crops we could we could turn over quicker.
Yeah. The market isn't overrun here, I guess, anyways.
It isn't. Local. It's kind of wide open at the moment, which is a good thing.
But everybody still depends on that trucking food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a little difficult to get in the area and produce enough so and be continuously producing it so they will buy it.
Yeah.
But it's a struggle.
And you're here at the base of the Great Northern Peninsula, so does that make a difference for farming too?
For sure.
I believe I had a picture of my lettuces and my snowmobile in the same shot.
I see.
That's
very much like frontier agriculture.
The weather, I think for us too, wind is has been a struggle. Not maybe this year, but in previous years. And we look at, you know, when we do get development going on our land up there, you know, the greenhouses that we are hoping to put up and hoping to keep up. Hopefully won't get blown away.
Well, I notice your place here is across the road from a place that blew down a couple of years back.
Yes, it is.
So you get a bit of breeze here in Norris Point.
Yeah.
It was 205, I believe, that
205.
Day.
Oh, yeah. So you have a garden over at the old cottage hospital. What's the public response to that? What do people say when they see that?
Amazing.
Yeah.
They are amazing. Over the moon that, you know, this provided locally.
Yeah.
I think more and more people are starting to become aware of or wanting to know, you know, where their food comes from. They want to know that it's, you know, they're eating the right things, more so than maybe, you know, 15 or even 20 years ago. There's a real difference, but the community out support has been really, really good.
Do people feel like it's kind of old-fashioned? Growing your own food?
No,
people used to do that a lot.
It's, I think it's a very trendy thing.
Yeah, we're not doing no turnip or carrots and potato shit. Yeah. So.
No, I see you.
After we get that,
when you get your land, can put some of that in.
Yeah.
Yes.
We talk a lot about trying to get new farmers and new entrants into agriculture. There are lots of barriers. Are there some suggestions you might have about what are the things that really hold people back?
Finances, yeah. For one thing. It's not time.
Time.
Yeah. You gotta have time and a labor of love for sure. Because like, you know, you spend all kinds of money in the first 2 or 3 years, you don't make anything.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't.
Yeah.
But it's a growing experience. And
I guess you just get paid 2 months of the year.
We're trying to push that a little bit. Yeah. That's why we're doing the early, the microgreens and the pea shoots and sunflower shoots, things like that, provide an earlier type of green for people to be able to buy.
Yeah. When I asked Laurie and Boyd about a music choice for this show, they said that they'd want to go with something along the lines of local music talent, but there's so many to choose from. They suggested anything by Sherman Downey and then singled out the song Isadora Duncan. This is Sherman Downey and The Ambiguous Case.
Between a picture of a boy and a letter from a lover who fancies Delacroix. Oh. Isadora Duncan, don't you wish you was a bumpkin? You're holding on to something and you're so far from home. Well, I wish that I could see you. Dancers wanna be your, no need to be alone. I'm jumping in a twirl, heavy meeting from the hand that couldn't turn the world, that couldn't understand that sometimes it's okay to show him what you got. Sometimes it's better to be yourself than be someone you're not. All this wishing in a one ain't never worth a dime. Better get it off your chest or have it weighing on your mind.
That was Sherman Downey and The Ambiguous Case with their song Isabella Duncan. I'm talking with Laurie Haycock and Boyd Maynard in their backyard farm in Norris Point. We begin this section by talking about what consumers want from their food these days. What do you think consumers want from their food? Do they ask you questions, or the restaurateurs, do they ask you questions about when you're selling them things?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, they want fresh, I guess, local.
Fresh, local.
Well, they're all impressed with the fact that they bring it home and put it in their fridge, and then 2 weeks later they're still eating it, right? And they're not throwing it away.
Yeah.
That's a big thing.
So you've applied for some land. You're waiting for that, just like, you know, many other people. So what's your plan in the future once you've got that land? What are you going to put up on that?
We're planning on doing a market farm. So a real diverse vegetables and fruits as well.
Yeah.
We're maybe looking into some small orchard type crops. We're hoping to, you know, start our own farmers market in the area.
Yep.
And I think it's really well needed in this area in particular. I mean, we get a lot of visitors even to this area. And a lot of the visitors don't know that you can't just pop to the big grocery store and buy some fresh fruit and vegetables.
So,
you know, we're hoping to have our own market up there as well.
A lot of your tourists, of which there are, well, a couple hundred thousand people who come every year to Grossmorne come from places where they're used to going to farmers markets.
I'm sure.
Right.
So they might say, where's the farmers market? Not, is there a farmers market?
If I had a dollar for every time a tourist asked me, where can I buy something green? And I'd be like, well, you kind of passed it about 45 minutes ago.
That's the Newfoundland tourism question, isn't
yes.
it? Where can I buy something green? Well, it certainly looks very, very green around here.
Yeah.
So we have this big plan to double food production and this kind of thing in the next we've only got 4 years left now.
Yeah.
If somebody were to call you up and say, what's one or two things we could do to make that, well, somebody like the Premier, you'd say to them?
Well, if somebody wants to farm, give them some land instead of waiting 5 years to get it. Because I started off as a young farmer. I'm going to retire before I get some land.
Well, fortunately, they keep raising the age of young farmers.
Yeah.
It's like 55 now or something.
True. True that, yeah.
So not even, you know, in a way, it's interesting because not people answer that in different ways, but often it's not climate or soil they necessarily say. They say a policy. There's a policy decision that can be made.
Yeah. You can work with, you know, the climate. You can do things to work with it, and the same with the soil. You could always add things to your soil, but you can't necessarily change the way policy is all by yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That has probably been one of the biggest struggles that we've had.
It's frustrating because if the land was cleared and it was farmable, I would have been already farming.
Yeah, that's right.
I would have been. I wait for the title left.
Yeah. You'd actually have a patio table back here in your backyard instead of having greenhouses.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's your secret in terms of fertilizer to be working?
Well, we use blood meal, bone meal,
Epsom salts.
And like chicken manure.
Okay.
So it's a bit of
the tried and true.
Everything, yes.
Do you ever use any kelp or anything?
Yes, we have. Yeah. Okay. This year we haven't yet, but I was just talking to the young fellow today, and we were going to go down and start harvesting for CDT.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
That's definitely a plan for the fall after we've cropped out all the beds, is to put a layer of seaweed on the beds and let it overwinter there on the bed.
What's your favorite local food, feed of all the stuff that you've got here, if you're sneaking something away to eat yourself, what's your favorite?
Me is cherry tomatoes and those Hockeride turnips.
Cherry tomatoes, okay.
Yeah.
What's the name of the turnip again?
Hockeride turnip.
Hockeride turnip.
H-A-K-U-R-E-I.
Okay.
It's Japanese.
We just had some just a minute ago, and they were great. So those two, cherry, they're all both the same size, different color.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about you, Laurie? What's your favorite?
Probably the snap peas. I like the peas. I like a lot of the fresh herbs, the basil and the parsley.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And being able to use them every day has been a real treat.
What sells out the fastest?
Lettuce.
Lettuce?
Lettuce mix, yeah.
You've got a fair bit in.
Lettuce and beets, actually, beets.
Okay.
So we've already cropped out a full bed of beets.
Really?
We've sold them all, and then we've replanted two more beds.
Yeah.
So these ones are a couple of weeks before these ones.
Mm. So if I were a young farmer saying, this looks like a really neat operation you have here, what's the first thing I should do if I want to?
Make sure you got good soil.
Good soil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what kind of amendments did you have to put in your soil?
Well, we put in compost, mostly compost.
Yeah. Put in a lot of compost.
How about your new land when you get it? Is that fairly rocky? Are you going to have to do a fair bit of...
Well, it's both pretty good because the top area where we're going to put to market is a lot of stones.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping to bury some weeping tall underground and get some thermal mass in there for the market and nursery.
Yeah.
And then the lower part is a boggy area, so we're hoping to drain that, and we got about 3 feet of peat, black, so we're hoping to use that for land plots. Hopefully it's going to be good, and if not, we're going to build it.
So if you have will you have any animals, any plans for that at this point? Or?
Well, not at this point, but we're digging into like a few chickens. And
sure, if you need chicken manure.
Yes. Yep, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, I think we decided, because the vision is, of course, to have all that as well, but I think we've decided to let's get good at growing the vegetables and selling the vegetables, and then that will come.
Because I should mention that you both have jobs outside of this.
We do. We both have full-time jobs. Yeah.
Full-time jobs outside of this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to start this on a part-time basis, but it's very, very popular right now. It's very it's a demand for sure.
I'm sure it's a bit overwhelming.
Yep, at times.
I must say, as a person who consumes food, that I really appreciate people like you who work off farm in order to make food for me. Yeah. It's very kind of you.
But it's also rewarding for us to know that we are feeding people in our community, and people really enjoy it.
Yeah,
it's nice when you can get the thanks back and they appreciate it.
Yeah.
And you're introducing new crops to people, too.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Sometimes to good effect.
Yeah.
Sometimes
you
like it. So this is it's a Sunday afternoon, sort of late afternoon. What does a farmer's like you, what do you have to do yet today on a Sunday?
So we got
afternoon.
Eight more flats of mushrooms to go in.
Yeah.
Two trays of radishes and two.
You realize it's Sunday. You
know, yes.
Most people are off today. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
And two more of romaine.
Yeah.
And beets got to go in the beds over at the community hospital. Yep.
So
that's all dark, and then we.
And then we get to do paperwork at night.
Oh, okay. This is sounding less attractive than before. But I'll just keep looking at the.
We want to make sure we're still on the right track.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when you said last year you took something out because you realized it wasn't going to be economically. So you're keeping pretty close track of what the cost of this is.
Yeah,
and
everything.
We document it all.
And that way we'll know when we actually get up there what to do and not to do.
That's really important. Yeah.
We have a calendar that we record daily everything that we do. And if we plant, microgreens that day, we record how much. We record how much seed we used. We record, how much of it sold. Did we get a good, good yield from it or a bad yield from it? What could we do better next time? What we sold, what we didn't sell, all of it.
Mm-hmm. Do you talk to other farmers? How do you, if you have an idea or you have a problem or you have a bug or something like that, how do you find out the answer to solving those problems?
Research.
Yeah, we do a lot of research in the evenings. We ask people in the know.
And we have a few books.
We do. We refer to a lot of the books that we purchased, it helps. It helps to know.
But I guess if there were a core of farmers like you in the area, you could maybe feed off each other a little bit.
But unfortunately, there's not too many people on the West Coast doing greens or microgreens.
Yeah, some of the same crops that we're doing is a little different.
You realize you'll be the people that people will call 2 years from now when they're starting and say, Laurie, how do we do this? And then you can do courses and charge them, right?
Yes, that's right.
Something on the side.
That's right. We'll be the Elliot Comans of Gros Morne area.
That
is a lot to live up to, for sure.
Is a door a Duncan? Don't you wish you was a bumpkin? You're holding on to something. And you're so far from home. Well, I wish that I could see you and make you a believer. All the dancers wanna be you. No need to be alone. I'll jump and let her twirl. Had the meeting from the hand. That couldn't turn the world. That couldn't understand. That sometimes it's okay to show him what you got. Sometimes it's better to be yourself than be someone you're not. Always wishing it a one ain't never worth a dime. Better get it off your chest or have it weighing on your mind.
Sherman Downey with his fine band, The Ambiguous Case, and the song is Isabella Duncan. When we rejoin Laurie Haycock and Boyd Maynard, they're showing us their homemade wash and dry station for fresh produce.
So this is our wash station. So,
okay.
So what we do is, Boyd's built this bubbler here.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right.
Oh, it goes in here, and we hook the shop vac up to it.
Okay. Oh, the shop vac.
Yeah.
Okay.
Turn that suction to blow side.
Right. And then,
so we harvest the greens in the bin.
Yeah.
And we put them in this wash, and the air like makes it all bubbly.
Yes.
And it bubbles, and then we give it another rinse in this one.
Yeah.
And then I have we bought
so
this
washer.
So these
are two big laundry tubs.
Yeah.
And then you've got a washing machine next to it.
We do.
Like this is like a real like.
Yep. Yeah. So we bought this just for doing this.
Okay.
But we buy these mesh bags.
Okay.
Like a laundry mesh bag.
Yep. Yep.
And we put the greens in and we spin them. And then so that it spins them so that
instead
they're
of those
dry.
Manual spinners.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So you have a giant.
And we can do a 6 pound at a time.
Yeah.
Versus like half a pound at a time.
Yeah.
A quarter pound.
Yeah.
I see.
So heavy duty washing machine.
Yeah.
Heavy duty washing. Can you get funding from the CAP program for that?
I bought that 2 years ago.
Oh, I see.
Because it had a dent in it. We sold it for $3.79. So we said, we'll take it.
We'll take it. Yeah. It has a scratch. Yeah.
So you've got a kind of a preparation station.
Yep.
Set up
this
right here.
Is where I wash off all the root vegetables. This is
your back deck. This is your back patio.
Yeah. Yep.
Outside.
This is where the patio table used to be.
Yes.
And then you've got a big
fridge.
No more.
Now we got a fridge for storage for some of the crops. So we just bag them up, weigh them up, do them up, and put them into the fridge.
And then the other greenhouse is
tomato house. This is our greenhouse. So
you put this together yourself?
Yeah. Bend the hoops.
2 years ago?
Yeah. One weekend, put it together. And put
one
it
weekend.
And it could have been 50 feet long for one extra half a day.
And the wind has so far hasn't.
Well, I got braced there because it's not that big, right?
Yeah, but still, just the brace. Yeah.
But
so there's the cherry tomatoes. Yeah.
There's four different varieties of cherry tomatoes in here. And that's all we're growing is the cherry variety for now. When we get more space, bigger greenhouses.
And the same things, all buckets. But like I said, when we get up there, we're going to have a little bigger system.
Yeah.
I'm going to actually take this stuff here and put a frame and just sag it and fill it full of soil.
Oh, okay.
So it's just 50 feet long as the greenhouse.
Yeah.
So these are big buckets, whipped vanilla. Did you eat all this whipped vanilla? Or is it?
We have a little sweet tooth.
Yeah.
Vanilla at our local grocery store.
Yeah.
Well, last year, before we had the cottage hospital greenhouse and area, we did the tomatoes, the peppers, and the cucumbers all in here at the same time.
Really?
So our production this year was, we were able to triple it actually. For with using that area.
This is great. Well, thanks for taking some time out of your busy schedule. Today I've been speaking with Laurie Haycock and Boyd Maynard. I hope that you noticed their passion for growing food, that unflagging urge to explore new crops and learn new methods, gain fresh victories with each planting season, in spite of whatever barriers may obscure the path. Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. If you have questions or comments, email me at fittoeatnl@gmail.com. To listen to other episodes or for more information, go to www.fittoeatnl.ca. The music for today's show was Isadora Duncan by Sherman Downey and The Ambiguous Case, as requested by Laurie and Boyd. The theme music, Cluck Old Hen, was done this week by Ryan Thompson. This is a production of Kitchen Table Communications. I'm Ivan Emke. Join me again next time. Happy trails.
But it's also rewarding for us to know that we are feeding people in our community, and people really enjoy it.
Yeah, it's nice when you can get the thanks back and the appreciation. I started off as a young farmer. I'm going to retire before I get some land.